Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily. With the best bits of this H&B Daily, with the best bits of this afternoon's show. Dan Bigger came in. Days of Toulon. Wales rugby legend, former British and Irish Lions player. Yeah, lovely fella.
I got off to a bad start with him, but after that it was fine.
I think you pulled it back. We spoke to Tom Ogden, who's a City fan and the lead singer of Blossoms. Mm. They have managed to coax a Premier League manager into their new video.
Yeah,
bit of
nice.
A fan of the
very
band.
Good.
You'll hear more about that. The whirlwind that is Joe Pasquale joined us in the studio. 40 years of CAC is his current tour. So he told us all about that in his very own way. And Justin Morehouse got a lot off his chest Manchester United-wise. So
we
brought you that. And we tried to speak to Rupert Bell, as you'll discover. So we'll bring you that abortive attempt. So here it all is. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Afternoon, Paul. I watched the Leicester City versus Preston North End game last night.
Yeah,
it's very nice of Preston just to let them score a few, I thought. Just
yeah.
It was nice they didn't bother with anything like defending or anything like that. I don't know if anyone watched
But Leicester are a good side. You've got to give them congratulations to them. I'm very pleased for Harry Winks back in the Premier League where he belongs.
He's been immense all season. Yeah. The bits I've watched of Leicester, he's been absolutely brilliant. He doesn't misplace a pass. Absolutely brilliant.
No, he's a class act. That was a very good bit of business.
Did you see Jamie Vardy's finish for the second goal, Paul?
Yes, yeah.
Just on the line, smash it, have it!
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see whether they keep him around next year, you know, because he could still do some damage. Steve Claridge, a Leicester striker, an earlier vintage, will be joining us to chat about that a little bit later on.
Good news.
So we've got a couple of things for the listeners to get going on, haven't we, today?
We have.
And this was because our producer found this little bit of footage out of, I think it was Norway, wasn't it, Charlie? Is that right?
It was Norway, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice journey, wasn't it, Paul? It was like a little journey from the dressing room to the pitch.
Let me find the
ideas for the show.
Norwegian League, newly promoted KFUM Oslo, which sounds like a radio station, doesn't
it? KFUM Oslo, mate.
Have their changing room separate from the stadium, so the KFUM and brand players have to cross the road to begin the game.
In your boots.
And you can see that, go and check out the video, they're crossing a zebra crossing, holding the hands of the mascots as they go. Yeah. So they're doing what they do in the stadium, but as they cross, all the traffic's been held up. Lollipop man's
It's like the Abbey Road front cover.
It is a bit, yeah. But two sets of guys in Hummel kits, basically, with all their kind of kids in all their gear.
And as we know, the Beatles wore Adidas, so...
Oh, okay.
They didn't wear Hummel, did they?
Oh, no, they didn't. No, that's right. Probably not around then. But, yes, we were interested to hear from you. I would imagine if you've played sort of amateur sport, there must have been some quite interesting journeys from the changing rooms or wherever you did get changed till you actually got to the pitch. Maybe things you had to cross, things you had to do.
Yeah.
Long walks, whatever they were. Yeah. We're interested to know about that journey from the dressing
maybe
room.
Maybe you had to get on a minibus.
Yeah.
You know, like when you get on the plane and you have to get on that little bus.
Yeah.
Just yeah. to the plane. Maybe you had to get changed and then get on that to get
that
to the
That would
pitch.
Be quite excessive.
Quite excessive, but you never know, Paul.
You never know.
Across a body of water, I'd hope
that
to,
would be good. There'd be a few happen. Crossing a few rivers, I'd like to think. So do let us know this afternoon. Talksport.com / H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ. That's TSHANDJ. And also 03717 223 344. You could tell us your little anecdotes in person by giving us a call, or on 03 717 223 344. You could leave a WhatsApp voice note.
We can do both those things, can't we? Yeah. I'm interested in those stories, Paul. I always like them.
Leave us a little WhatsApp voice note and tell us your yarn of those journeys to the pitch. Spawniest job in football. I hit you with earlier on.
Yeah,
I didn't realise this. Reading Neil Custis's piece in the Sun today on Anthony. That Anthony, all games, and apparently this is quite common. I never knew the players did this. They have a personal photographer taking pictures of them during the game,
an image
which
right,
they use
sort
for
of thing.
Maybe they use for socials and promotional stuff. But they'll have a snapper
nice
just sitting at the side of the pitch to get like the great moments.
Yeah.
But this guy's been working with Anthony for a good couple of years now. At Old, that's the spawniest job in the world, isn't it? I bet there's been a couple of times where he's probably I forgot my camera. Should I go home and get it?
Nah,
don't
bother. He's not going to play.
He's not, you know. If
he
does play, there's going to be nothing to photograph. But there was a picture of him the other day, wasn't there, where he was, I think he was holding a little Sonic the Hedgehog doll. One of his kids, a big Sonic fan. So it was handed to him by the photographer so he could then take the picture.
Oh, really? So he just follows him around, does he? And takes
not everywhere. But I think he goes to Old Trafford. He goes to Old Trafford. And doesn't pap him. He wouldn't want that.
Employed by the club or by Anthony?
By Anthony.
Oh,
and his
okay.
people.
Okay,
yeah,
wow.
It's stuff that he can use for his own personal use.
Yeah. I like it. Very nice.
I'm sure that kind of...
That's a nice job.
I'm sure every time like the Disbury Echo is turned down for a photographer's pass, so Anthony's personal
Anthony
guy.
Anthony can come in, yeah.
You know. Anyway.
Also, you can't have every player having it. You know, you've got have like 18 players on each pitch.
I know.
On each side.
But I wasn't aware until Neil Custis said this today, that players having their own personal photographers at games is not unique to Anthony.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Take spawny jobs. It will take those.
Was there a job you ever had? Was there a little job that you thought, I mean, this is so easy.
This is
fantastic. It must get harder than this.
Well, can I thank the good people of Charles Tirrett for my job earlier in the year?
Yeah, exactly.
And do buy as many Charles Tirrett clothes as you possibly can.
You basically went and watched rugby, interviewed Matt Dawson.
And wore nice clothes
that they gave
nice
you for
job.
Free.
Very nice job.
So that was your... we want your photographing Anthony equivalents. Some of those spawny jobs you had over the years.
Very nice.
We're getting some in. I played for... this is Simon in Manchester. I played for Parswood Celtic and had to cross over the M60 near Cheadle to get from dressing rooms to pitch. I take it was a sort of flyover bridge. You didn't have to run across the M60, did you, Simon?
Middle section.
What a thought.
There we are.
We got to walk from the changing room to the rugby pitch whilst playing for the sick form team. Next thing I knew, I was in hospital. Some golfer was practicing his golf, sliced one, hit me square on the head, knocked me out. Yeah, in hospital for a couple of days, says Ian in Suffolk, Ian the West Ham fan.
Stuff that happened
on the way. So off we go.
Very nice indeed.
Responding to that straight away. Thank you very much.
One other thing I've got, Paul, is I've been sent the rules for Alex Hornhouse's football match at Chesham. May the 11th is Alex Horn's football match. There's some tickets left. They have sold about 3,500, 4,000, though. So should be an exciting football match. Some Taskmaster people you'll recognise from the telly, some low-level comedians like myself, some Chesham United players, women's and men's teams.
Alex kind of told us when he came on the other day that you've mentioned that he likes to tweak the rules, the laws, but it's basically Taskmaster football you're going to be playing, isn't it? It's a great idea.
It's along those lines.
How many of these would you like to see implemented? Maybe you want to add to the list and we'll pass them on to Alex.
Yeah. I won't read them all, but I'll read ones I think are the funnest.
Yeah.
You must shout your own name every time you shoot.
Right.
That's now, which, to be honest, I used to do as a kid anyway.
Yeah.
Probably still do now as an adult. I did actually. Who did I used to shout? Josimar. That's what I used to shout.
Yeah.
When I used to shoot as a
kid. So you're going
to
go, Baker!
Baker!
As you hit it. Right, okay. That's a good idea.
Baker for the top corner!
That'll be good, won't it?
I won't if I ever get any shots.
Yeah.
Keepers must go up for every corner.
Oh, that's good.
That's going to be great, isn't it? That's a good one. That's great fun, especially
irrespective of the game situation,
Yeah, very
good.
Nice.
Yeah,
very
I like
nice.
That.
Managers must be in the centre circle at all times, but must not touch the ball. This solves a massive problem in football, which is getting managers to stay in their technical area.
If the ball hits them, I think you restart with a drop ball.
I don't know what happens.
Because they are basically, they're like the referee, it should be, I would think. Tell Alex that.
Yeah. But managers in the centre circle.
Or can you use them like they're, like, can you play off of them?
Play off them like a corner flag.
If you play off them accidentally, but if they actually do a 1-2 with you.
1-2 off Arteta in the middle.
But if it hits them, that's different. Yeah, okay, I like that.
When Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus is played, a second ball will be introduced.
Oh, okay.
That's nice, isn't
that's
it?
That's nice, good fun. Yeah.
Lots of people like... If you get a yellow card, you must wear a yellow marigold for the rest of the game.
Mm.
Very nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you've got a yellow card, yellow hand, very nice. And I like this one very much. If you do something really good in the game, you get to wear the wonderful wig. The person wearing the wonderful wig at the end of the game wins a £20 cash prize.
Nice.
I can see that in the Premier League. At least the Carabao, Paul.
I don't think a £20 cash prize is going to...
No, it might not swing it.
People go through the whole
Premier League
business, yeah.
There we are. Few of the rules that will happen at the Alex Horns match at Chesham United on May the 11th, kick off 3 o'clock.
Okay,
if you're still available.
Any of those you'd like to see introduced? You've got any that might fit into the Taskmaster football envelope?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yeah, it's going to talk a bit of Premiership rugby and more now with former Wales fly half, Lions fly half these days at Toulon.
Yeah.
It's Dan Bigger. Hi, Dan.
Hello,
good
Dan.
To see you.
Thank you for having me, guys. Yeah, really appreciate
very
well.
So it's the flying visit back to the UK, is it?
Flying visit, yeah. Did a little bit on the rugby pod yesterday in Spotify Studios, and then stayed over with my agent last night, who very kindly put me up.
Yeah.
And then a couple of meetings this morning, and then popped in to see you guys before Heathrow to Nice this afternoon.
Did he provide a good breakfast for you? I just
there was no breakfast actually. A very good cup of tea, in fairness. But and I had to make sure I had to bribe his daughter with picking up toys to get her to eat her breakfast.
Oh, so, okay.
All in all, it's been a successful couple of days.
Yeah, I've just been reading about Anthony. Anthony has his own. The Man United player has his own. Photographer, personal photographer.
I didn't realise.
Are you that type, Dan? Is that your sort of thing?
I would say I'm probably not quite that type. No, I would say, yeah. More on-field focus, probably. As a Man United fan, for me, I would say more on-field focus for him, please, if it's possible.
Yeah, I never knew it was a thing, but they have them to do all their social stuff, and they'll just be at the game, just focusing on them. Yeah. You know, so it's
they must love it. Something else to spend money on. Yes,
maybe that's where it's going wrong for them at the minute on the field.
Although, of course, we discovered last week that fly halves are the highest-paid players, so you probably could afford a personal photographer. What did you make of that survey? That was in the Premiership.
I did see it. Yeah. Well, I'm not in the Premiership anymore,
so
I can't be put under that scope anymore. But I mean, it's kind of like I suppose it's your goal scorer in football terms.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It's your number nine in football terms, where you're expected to score 25, 30 goals a season, and if you don't, you're going to cop the heat. But if you do, you're going to take all the plaudits. So I suppose it's one of those where you take more flack, which is why your paycheck is slightly higher than perhaps your left back or your right back sort of
it's
thing.
It's the glamour slot, isn't it?
It's the glamour slot, yeah. It's it very much is the glamour slot. Yeah. When things go well.
Yeah, of course.
When things aren't quite going so well, you tend to take the blame for pretty much everything in the team, which is fine. But it's very much the glamour slot, yeah.
Are you completely fit now? Because you picked up a quite strange back injury. Just doing something that you do constantly,
a conversion. After the try, we played, so it was a week or 2 weeks after the World Cup, we lost to Argentina in the quarterfinals, and I played for Toulon 2 weeks later in Perpignan. 10 minutes into the game, I'd felt my back be quite stiff during the week, and we had like a 4.5-5 hour bus journey the day before, which probably didn't help.
Mm.
And then... just pulled up as if someone shot me.
Yeah.
And I was struggling. I was out for about 6 or 7 weeks, and probably, to be honest, probably came back a little bit too early. Wasn't quite fully fit.
What was it then, Dan?
So it was basically like a bulging disc in layman terms. Between L4 and L5, if anybody's familiar with that. And it basically, the sciatic nerve was just pressing on it. It went into spasm, and I was laid up for about 6-7 weeks. I was pretty uncomfortable. Then I came back and probably came back maybe three or four weeks too early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody could relate to this, but when you're on the field and you know you're not 100%, you know you're not giving the best to the team, the best version of yourself, So it took me another few weeks to get myself back, and I feel a lot better now. And we're sort of in the final phase of the season, pushing for a top six place.
Yeah, it must be tempting to come back early, especially when you're at a new club. You're at Northampton Saints for so long, yep. Bit of a club legend there. They're doing very well without you. I reminded that you of that.
I think what you said was now that you've left, they've started doing well. Yeah, that's exactly what the words were, Charlie. If I'm honest,
it's got a great turn of phrase, isn't it? It's terrific.
Do you know what they're doing really, really well. Yeah. And I got sawn
off at the weekend, I will say that.
They did get sawn off on the weekend, but yeah. It's quite, you know, sometimes when you leave clubs or sometimes the relationship can turn or it can be a bit sour, or you almost sort of hope that they don't do as well when you leave for natural reasons. Yeah. But for me, there's absolutely none of that with Northampton. The club is full of brilliant, brilliant people. It's a well-run club. It's run properly. Mm. Coaches are brilliant. I had probably the best 4.5 years of my career in Northampton professionally. So I'm really, really pleased that they're doing so well. And I mean, the game on the weekend was just a brilliant spectacle for Prem Rugby, wasn't it?
In terms of
big crowd at Twickenham.
Yeah. Two teams, the reffing was questionable, but that's in all sports at the moment.
Yeah, I would say football in the VAR moment at the minute is not doing itself a great service either. So, but I think in terms of, like I said, in terms of Prem Rugby, it was a brilliant advert for Prem Rugby on Saturday. Both teams playing the game in the right way, and a brilliant occasion.
What's been that sort of adjustment like living overseas? And obviously, you know, Northampton is, with respect to Northampton Town fans, Northampton is a rugby town, isn't it? So suddenly you're in Toulon. I imagine that's a bit of a goldfish bowl as well. They're rugby mad, aren't they?
Yeah, it's... very much so, actually. When I left Wales, I said I was leaving Wales to get out of the goldfish bowl, but I moved to Northampton, which is kind of a rugby mad town, and then Toulon, which is basically kind of like I suppose it's like the Real Madrid, just like the paper, you know, like the papers, you see the headlines from Real Madrid if they lose a game, it's crisis.
And what about
like
the fans, Annie? Are they different? I mean, you talk sometimes to people in sport and they go overseas and sometimes the people are a bit bolder. They'll come up and say, why did you do that in the game?
They probably are, actually, to be fair. They're very demanding, probably because of the success that Toulon had in, what was it, 2013, 2014, 2015, that they're just so used to success.
Yeah.
And I think it's been a bit of a dry period for them in terms of, obviously we won the Challenge Cup last year, but generally it's been a bit of a dry period, and they're very much, it's a different mindset completely. I mean, the French culture compared to the British culture is absolutely, even though it's only a small distance apart geographically, it's absolutely miles apart in terms of mentality and how things are done. And I think you have to go there. The fans are demanding. The fans are more than happy to sort of, you know, voice their concerns, should we say. But they're also, it's just a really different place.
Yeah.
But I've also loved it as well. It's something that I wanted to do. I wanted to play in different countries, different leagues. My two boys, I've got two young boys. My six-year-old goes to a French school and is speaking really good French.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So it's going to be a great experience for them. My wife loves it and things. So, we're really, really happy there. And we started to put a few performances together over the last month, and we're pushing quite hard.
Yeah. It must have been tough after all those years of playing international rugby and being so key to Wales. I mean, you're saying, you know, you just retired from international rugby and then you get the back injury. That must have been a tough old time for you mentally, I would have thought.
It was really tough, actually, because I don't think it hit me initially. I think when we lost the quarterfinal to Argentina in Marseille, it was kind of... Yeah, like I said, I don't think it really hit me.
Because I suppose there was an expectation you would win that and go on. I think you hadn't come to terms with that being the last game.
It's strange because before the World Cup, if you'd have offered us a quarterfinal close loss to Argentina, we'd have snapped your hand off. Mm. But during the World Cup, it was probably, we felt a bit short. And I remember the week after the World Cup, we had a week off from Toulon, and I just said to my wife, I said, I've got to get out of this country because I can't deal with looking at the build-up to the semi-finals or the rugby chat, or people, even when you go down to the town or something, saying, oh, how was the game on the weekend? Yeah. Unlucky, what do you think about this weekend? So we jumped on a plane, just got to Dubai and just got away from it. It was brilliant. I didn't watch the semi-finals because the time difference, it was too late to watch it. So it was just brilliant for me to spend some time with the family after being away for so long. And it's been hard. It has been hard because it's something that I've been used to for 15 years, going into Six Nations, autumn international camps. And it's taken some adjustment, but I feel like it was the right time.
Yeah.
I feel like I've made a good life decision from a family point of view and a club point of view, where I can just focus on on Toulon, my family life, and see where that takes us.
Wales and the Six Nations, very much a team in transition, to put it kindly.
Yeah.
A young team. Can you see some shoots of progress?
Do you know what? In the first 4 weeks of the Six Nations, I would have said definitely. I thought that there was real signs of progress. In terms of there was signs of excitement in the team.
Yeah.
It's clearly a young team with lots of players who were experienced, who were mainstays in the team, retiring, injured, leaving for Japan, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But I thought in the first four games there was signs of promise. But I thought the final game against Italy was a real tough watch. I thought Italy played really well, and the progress that they've made is incredible in terms of the Six Nations.
I mean, but Italy had come close in France.
They beat Scotland the week before. Yeah. They drew against France, if not for the ball falling down in an indoor stadium of the team.
Yeah.
But so Italy have clearly progressed. Really, really well. But I thought that from a Welsh point of view, they fired no shots, and it's a little bit back to the drawing board. And the coaching staff have clearly got some big questions and a big job on their hands as
well.
Yeah.
Do you think it was the right call to because Warren Gatland did offer his resignation, which they didn't accept? You think he's the right man to take him forward?
I think he's the right man. I didn't think that was probably the right thing to do, was come out afterwards and disclose that, but I do think he's the right man. What he does really well, Gats, is he fills a team with confidence, and I think the more time he'll spend with that young group, the more confidence those players will find in him. So I do think he's the right man, but like any sports result, like any high performance business, if you don't get results, then you're going to come under pressure.
Yeah.
The summer tour they play South Africa in Twickenham before two tests in Australia, so. It's going to be, it's going to be a tough summer for Wales as well.
Yeah.
But it's actually, I really enjoyed watching the Six Nations, actually. It felt strange watching it because it's the first time in, I think it was 13 years that I haven't played in the Six Nations. So I was sat in, and it felt strange, actually, because I was sat in France and it was like 16, 17 degrees, sunny blue skies.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like everything I associate with the Six Nations is like cold, dark, wet February days.
Yeah, yeah.
And it felt very much the opposite from where I was. But it was nice to be a spectator for the first time in a while.
Have you sort of thought about life beyond rugby? Is it a sort of media career? Do you want to coach? Have you thought about that?
I'm not sure I want to do too much coaching. I look at every coach. every coach I look at looks as if they're about 10 years older than they actually are.
Yeah.
And they look as if they're not enjoying life, particularly on a day-to-day basis. But I love doing some media bits and pieces. I love doing some. I'm looking to try and do some sort of like some public speaking,
sure.
and bits and pieces like that for some companies. So I'm looking to try and do little bits and pieces rather than focus on one thing. But I love the media stuff. I really, really do. I love the media stuff. I love. It still keeps you involved in a bit of a match day. Keeps you in the loop with what's going on with the game as well. So I think I really enjoy that, but I really can't see myself coaching, certainly not on a club basis. It looks like a job which not many people take too much pleasure from, if I'm honest.
We can ask the listeners for TV formats for Dan Bigger, surely.
Well, yeah, we could.
Bigger isn't better. We can start
there.
Yeah,
that's right. We could find you some light entertainment
I'm
formats.
Sure, yeah,
it's
absolutely.
A name that lends itself to that.
There's plenty of puns on it. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
We'll have loads come in now. Now I've said it.
We should have a look at the games this weekend. We've got Northampton Saints, Leinster, 82,000 people, Croke Park.
Sold out.
It's nuts.
In 24, 48 hours. It's going to be amazing. Which is incredible.
Leinster, more or less the Island international team, though,
basically,
isn't it,
the British
really?
And Irish Lions team, effectively. Yeah, yeah.
So no pressure.
I think Leinster. Look, I think Northampton have been absolutely brilliant this year. They've got a young team of players who are just looks absolutely brimming with confidence. They look like they don't know when they'll be. Even on the weekend, they probably should have been beat two or three times over, but they kept sticking at it and coming back. You'd have to fancy Leinster in Dublin. I think Leinster this year they've brought Jack Niemeyer, the winning coach from South Africa, and I think they brought him in to make sure that they get over the line this year in the Champions Cup, because they've lost the last two finals to La Rochelle. They managed to get over that hurdle in the quarterfinal, and I think they're so motivated to make sure they win Europe this year. I think it'll be a tough ask for Northampton. But the one thing I will say, that Northampton are the type of team that no matter who they play, that they're only focused on themselves and putting their game on the pitch.
Yeah.
So I don't think being at Croke Park, 82,000 against one of the best club teams for the last 10, 15 years in Europe will faze them. I think they'll have players who aren't afraid at the minute, and their confidence is so high with young players. Sometimes that's better than having seasoned pros.
Sure.
So I think they'll give it a real good go, and I think the game will be tight. But I just think Leinster have got that mental edge of wanting to win Europe this year, which will just get them over the line. But I fancy Northampton to put up a really good showing.
And Cade Murley was in with us last week, and the Quins off to Toulouse, aren't they? So a decent crowd there, 33,000 sell out, so that should be exciting as well. How'd you see that one?
Yeah, they've got the easy job this weekend going to Toulouse. Yeah. Again, clearly Toulouse will start as favourite. They've got the best player in the world in Anton Dupont starting at nine, and is an absolute, ridiculous player, absolutely ridiculous player. But I do think the way that Quins play lends itself. Toulouse are a team that give you opportunities to score. So Quins are sort of if you leave the door open a little bit for Quins, they're gonna kick it down. So I think if they can get a couple of early scores, put the pressure on them, because I think the game will be high scoring, and I think Toulouse will give plenty of chances. But again, you have to fancy a home semi final with the players that Toulouse have got, the squad that they've got. I think they'll probably just get the job done, and I think they'll just have enough to get over the line. But you know, again, Quins, if there's a team to go to Toulouse and throw the ball around and provide an unbelievable game of rugby, Quins are exactly that. And I think that both games will be tight, high scoring, lots of really good rugby. Both four brilliant teams who play the game in the right way as well.
Excellent.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Blossoms there, Charlemagne.
Yeah, lovely.
One of their previous singles. They have a new single out tomorrow, and it's called What Can I Say After I'm Sorry? The reason we're talking about it, well, apart from the fact that, that Tom, we're going to chat to in a moment, is a big City fan, and we often speak to them on the show, is that Sean Dyche, the Everton manager, has popped up in their new video. Yeah.
In a suit, not in a tracksuit. So I reckon it was recorded a while ago.
Yeah, yeah. And let's hear Sean in action then.
Listen, lads, it's really important that you know you're the specialist group of people that I've pulled together to make sure we can pull this job off. We've got to get Gary.
How about Mamma Mia, ABBA?
Nah.
Love Shack.
Good tune, bit too fast.
Superstition, Stevie Wonder.
I was saying there's certain songs that make you want to bop your head in the car between 95 and 102 BPM.
Yeah, check this out.
Sean Dyche.
Sounds good, though.
And Blossoms. And we're delighted to say that Tom Ogden, the lead singer of Blossoms, joins us. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
How are you doing, guys? You okay?
Yeah. Very good. Sounds a bop, as the kids say.
It does, yeah. I like that. Yeah. Sounds great. We listened to it earlier on. Sean has said in the past he's a fan of the band. He's been to see you play live, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, it stems back to, he did an interview maybe 3 or 4 years ago now where he was talking about being at the Isle of Wight Festival. And there was a video of him, and he says, "Oh, saw Blossoms, they were really good." And we were like, "Sean Dyche bigged us up on this video. Have you seen it?" So we've kind of like buzzed off that for a while. And then last summer, we were at Glastonbury, and he was at Glastonbury. And we did a covers set with Rick Astley.
Yeah, great. Went massive, didn't it?
You remember that? Anyway, Sean Dyche was at that as well. And then he ended up with Rick Astley backstage at Glastonbury, like having a few drinks and stuff. And then fast forward to like a couple of months ago, we went to watch Rick Astley at the arena at Manchester, and kind of, obviously we've become friends with Rick through doing them Smith songs. Yeah. And then, you know, we just remain friends anyway. Like, he comes and stays with us and stuff, and, you know, we hang out anyway. He put us in a box, which was nice of him, to watch his gig at the arena. Anyway, we get there and Sean Dyche is in the box.
Oh, fantastic.
So we end up like watching Rick's set with Sean and chatting about music. He's asking us all about the band, and we're asking him all about football. And then we just exchanged numbers from that that interaction. And then we've been making a new album, and obviously then we were making the videos for it, and we were like, should we just ask him on a whim and see if he's up for it? And he was bang up for it. So, you know, can't really knock him for that, really. It's nice of him, and it shows that he's just up for it.
And you've heard Sean's singing voice. I'm wondering that, because when he's
thinking Louis Armstrong,
when he's going, never going to give you up,
or does, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Or has he got a very high falsetto voice? Is he like Sylvester? It'd be completely different.
I think it was the previous one, to be fair.
Yeah. I think the timing of this, Charlie and I were just saying, Tom, that I imagine Sean said, boys, don't be putting this video out till we're safe, because I can't have
you know
saying,
what?
It must have been an issue, mustn't it?
To be fair, like, obviously, when you're kind of caught up in your own thing, we've obviously had like a million and other things that we've been sorting out regarding like the album and the single and stuff. So it's kind of, we kind of overseen that a little bit, and we were going to probably put it out anyway, but it's worked well in our favour in terms of, you know, the reaction's been phenomenal. And the tracks, we filmed it before we went tracksuit, so quite funny that, to be fair.
Forever now, the tracksuit.
Well, you're going to have to get him on now to complete the circle. You're going to have to get him on to do a Morrissey cover at Glastonbury, I think, something like that. Panic on the Streets of London, that's his job, by the way.
The Panic on the Streets from Luxembourg. Be fantastic.
Hang
it?
The DJ.
Yeah, Panic on the Streets of London. It'd be great, wouldn't it? I don't know why he sounds like Tommy Cooper all of a sudden.
Suddenly he's gone. Yeah,
he seems like a good sport, though, Tom, doesn't he? That he was. I mean, he entered into the spirit of it. Fine bit of acting. Obviously, people should go and watch the video, but a fine bit of acting, I thought.
It's like something from a Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah.
Honestly, we just said we give it a brief look like this kid that he just kind of did his own thing, which was like, you know, we were like, have you done this before?
I didn't know he goes to so many gigs. We often speak to Stuart Pearce on a Saturday, on the Saturday show, and Stuart's always at a gig.
He
goes to see the Stranglers about 30 times a year.
Apparently, I didn't realise, he got Green Day sent him a message after the Merseyside Derby the other day. So he's a friend of the Musos, old Sean, isn't he?
Yeah, he did that. He did an interview, didn't he, with Jeff Reeves about music, basically, and football. So he ended up talking about Green Day, and then obviously they give him a congratulations after he beat Liverpool. And then someone interviewed him again about that, and then he mentioned us again then. So he's kind of been around for... was an old Sean.
Well, if it goes to number one, you can't ditch him. He's just going to have to be in the band at the back on BVs.
Yeah, he's a permanent member by that point.
That's right. You know, they make a bad start of the season. Wake me up when September ends, he says. He's doing all that. He's doing all the songs. And City, quick one on City. Tom, how are you feeling about the title running, you and Arsenal?
I mean, they're in prime position, aren't they? If you look at the last few couple of years, they've only been in this position going into it. But they're still like in a pessimistic way. As a City fan, where I just think, surely you can't keep doing it the way it's been done. But I think City have got to go to Tottenham, haven't they? And Arsenal have got to go to United. So I think they're the two crunch games, I think. But who knows?
Arsenal need Tottenham to do them a favour. And, you know, you need United to do you a favour. What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly. Funny how football works out, isn't it, sometimes? But
nice one. So singles out tomorrow, Tom, yeah?
Brilliant.
Singles out tomorrow, yeah.
Brilliant. And we'll catch up with you soon. Do pop in. I know you have done before when you're down in London, but do pop in and see us when you guys are down. Be nice to see you.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, man, definitely. Thanks for having us
on. Take care.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Bigger the better. With a starting bank of 500 quid, Dan goes round betting shops, seeing how much money he can make. Not sure about it.
Dan is saying he thinks it's the media for him. He does enjoy it. So Charlie said, well, with your name, you could get some great light entertainment formats. Great Saturday night shiny floor show quiz, couldn't he, Dan? Yeah.
They'd love it. Very much. Well, we did play a few weeks ago on our very sensible Saturday show with Max Rushton, Bigger or Littler. We did do that for a little bit.
For Dan Bigger and
Luke Littler. They should get together. Yeah. They're the new Ant and Dec.
They are.
You know, they have to stand a certain way around so you know which is which.
Yeah.
all those
little
things.
Dan and little Luke they'd have to have as well, wouldn't they?
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
Taskmaster Football, Alex Horn has got another one of his celebrity games at Chesham United, the club where he's a director.
Yeah.
And he likes to mess with the laws.
Yeah.
Including having both coaches in the centre circle at all times, but they're not allowed to touch the ball. And we thought some of those I don't know, Kalina's listening. They're going to be trying those in the Dutch third division.
That's where it'll be.
And David
Ellery. That's
where it gets. This comes from Cliff. If you foul throw, you must play 10 minutes with your arms inside your top.
Oh, I like that. That's nice. That's nice.
So you got to dip.
That's nice because, to be honest,
run around.
When a pro player
does
a foul throw ball,
I know,
that is the absolute disgrace.
It should be a fine. There should be a fine for it.
There must be a fine. Absolutely.
Desperately. We did ask you as well about some of the long distance. We were telling you it was over in Norway.
To cross a zebra crossing,
yeah, and all the cars stop and you walk across the road.
Abbey
with
Road
the mascot,
style.
In the Norwegian League. At the top Norwegian League, you have to cross the road to get to the ground. So we asked about the long walks from the dressing room to the pitch. Played in Glossop, says Pete the Liverpool fan. Had to strip in the Conservative Club once. Cross a road, walk through the train station car park down. That's all a bit.
Get the idea with that.
Yeah. Well, Pete.
So what seems an IKEA of answers then is the bit, put it together, put the anecdote together.
It's like
yourself.
a flat pack text. Thank you very much for that.
Here's some bits, do it yourself.
The Billy bookcase of emails. God bless you, Pete. Thank you very much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Definitely can't tell that.
No, you can't tell that story on here. Showbiz tales.
I want to know now.
Yeah, he'll tell you off air, Joe.
Okay.
Made a welcome return to the studio. He's on tour. I think he was a bit shocked and stunned. He was expecting to see Andy there.
Yeah,
and
I was.
The bearded figure of Charlie Baker. Yeah, so
it's been a while. I'm so pleased to see. Not that I'm disappointed that Andy's near. I'm not that I'm disappointed, but I'm so pleased to see. It's been a few years, love, hasn't it?
A few years. Yeah, a few years. But you're here now.
We're here now. And what I really like about every year I come here, you let me come every year.
I know.
Right, yeah. I don't know who he is, and I know nothing about sport. Nothing about sport.
It's Harry Hill, and Jack D. They're the only three.
Oh, really?
Ross Noble.
I would have thought Ross would have known about a bit of sport.
He's into his motorbikes, but apart from that,
I'm going to start with sport today. Well, sort of sport. It's a bit of a tangent on it.
Okay.
Have you seen yet the new Roadhouse movie with Conor McGregor?
I haven't seen it.
No,
oh my God! I thought this would be 15 minutes on this, right?
Wow.
No, it's amazing. Like Conor McGregor, he's just kind of, the director has just gone to him. just be you.
Right? Right, okay.
And for me, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal, brilliant in it, right? It depends whether you really like the old one with Patrick Swayze. Yeah, I really like the old one as well. But Conor McGregor, this is his first movie. He's going to go, everybody's going to say, I want him in this next movie.
You see more films, do you, with him?
Oh, definitely. Really? The director has just said, just be you.
Yeah.
Now, do you know about fighting? Do you like fighting, Charlie? Yeah,
I'm not a big fighting fan, but I know about fighting.
Well, have you watched Conor McGregor? Have you watched Conor McGregor?
Yeah, I know it is. Oh, yeah,
oh,
yes.
He's a maniac.
Are you a fan of the old mixed martial arts?
I do box. Yeah, I still get beat up a lot, but I do box still. I'll show you that, but I won't tell you what it's for.
Oh, look
at it's still on there from a target.
It's radio, Joe.
Yeah, I know it is.
I think we might have got that on the camera.
Did
though.
I show you?
Yeah, look at he lifted his shirt just before we know. Yeah.
They try and hit me. But I started boxing a few years ago, and just because I thought, basically, I read a book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers.
Mm.
And it's a great book. You ever actually know this book?
I've not read the book, but I've heard about it.
It's amazing, right? It does teach you to break all the barriers of the fear that you got.
Yeah. And you learned to fly at that off the back of that book as well,
didn't you? Yeah, because I thought...
I meant obviously fly an aeroplane.
Yeah, not on my own.
Condor, man.
Condor, what a great Michael Crawford.
The only guest who can leap through the window, Joe, that's right. He just flat down the bottom there.
Not many people know Condor Man reference, but I do love. So after reading that book, I thought I could learn to fly because I hated flying, so I learned to fly. Then I did a degree at the Open University. Then I did some running. And then I thought, I've never had a fight, so I took up boxing, as you know.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of cops that go to the place where I go, from the Met and what have you, and they all come down and they take it out on me, which is quite fun.
Take it out on me?
Yeah, because I'm not allowed to do it anymore.
No, that's true.
Everyone's got a video
rules
camera now. Rules have changed now, so they just take it out on me.
Yeah.
Joe Pasquale's going down, let's beat him to a pulp.
Yeah. With a great service, you'll probably get a commendation medal from the Met now.
Coming down Boxing Club, who's down there? Pasquale.
They're all queuing up.
No one will recognise him when he walks out of here.
You're touring, Joe. The new normal.
I hate plugging anything.
Well, no, you're right. Don't worry.
Yeah, but
no one will come.
Yeah, but I'd rather just talk.
40 years. We should tell people it's called the new normal. 40 years of CAC continued.
Yeah. Oh, continued. Nice. Yeah, because I did it last year. This is the second year. It's 41 years of CAC now.
Yeah, very nice.
You've got a great following, haven't you? I mean, people. I'm sure you get the same people coming back year after
year. Well, sometimes you get a lot. People get older, and then they have their kids, and they bring their kids and their grandchildren. I'm getting a real mix of age of people from 7 to 95. Coming, which is really nice, and now doing a Q&A as well. You get all these kids putting their hand up and saying, "Can I tell you a joke?" And it's really nice seeing kids and all these old people sitting there as well.
Yeah.
Old people, I'm old there as well. Yeah. How old are you there, Charlie?
I'm 47 years old, Joe.
Yeah,
you're gonna tell me or not?
I'll tell you, I'm not that old, I won't tell you. I'm 62 now, Joe.
And who looks best?
Oh, it's definitely him.
Yeah, it's definitely him,
though. Sorry, Charlie.
As Alan Brazil says, don't look at him, he hasn't lived a life, as Alan once said.
Paul's got a portrait in the attic.
I'd be dead.
Have you? Is it Dorian Gray? It's just you. There's a new play in London about that. Have you seen it?
Yeah, one person, yeah.
Sarah Snoop from Succession.
Have you had her on there? Did you know?
No, she'd be a tough booking for her. I don't know if she's a sports fan. Maybe she wants whole KR. She may be massive. Well, she might be into NRL.
She might be waiting for the call.
Sarah, if you're listening, I think she's doing a matinee this afternoon.
Yeah,
we'll get her in to talk a bit of sports.
Yeah.
She'd be great.
Have you done anything one man, Joe? Have you done a one man? I can see you doing a one man Christmas Carol.
No, I've never done that. I saw Eddie Izzard last year doing Great Expectations, though.
No, I didn't see
it.
He's on with us next week, Eddie.
Oh, she's brilliant.
He's having a chat about that, I think.
Oh, it was great.
So
what else do I talk about?
I was going to ask you something else. What was it? My mind's gone.
Oh, I don't know. It's about how old
you've just done your old mate Bradley Walsh and Brian Connolly have just done
the Palladium.
Yeah.
It worked out. Petula Clark was going to do it, right? Yeah. And it was Easter Saturday.
And Shane Ritchie as well.
The four of us. Yeah. And Brad's been talking about this for about 10 years. And then he said, they phoned me up and said, do you want to do the Palladium? He said, do you fancy doing it? Are you working? So I said, no, I'm not working that day. Then he phoned Connolly. Then he phoned Shane. And he said, look, do you fancy doing it all for us? I said, yeah. And Brad said, well, I've not really done stand-up for 17 years. So that way, if you come down, we ain't got to do any heavy lifting. And then Shane said, I haven't done any stand-up for 20 years either. He's obviously been doing EastEnders.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And then we rehearsed every Wednesday. We only had a month's notice on it. Every Wednesday, we go down to the studios where he does the chase.
Yeah.
We meet up, get a coffee and a sandwich, and we'd never rehearsed once.
No, we didn't rehearse once.
All we did was talk about...
the old days.
It was about the old days. We had like four old blokes now. Because we're all in our 60s now. That's what's really scary.
And it was a sort of Rat Pack thing you did.
Yeah, he called it the Rat Pack. Yeah, and it was really probably one of the best things I've ever felt on stage at the time.
Might you do some more, you boys, if the money's right?
Well, it's not even about the money. It was just I hadn't had a dinner.
Don't tell him that.
I shouldn't have said too loud. Too loud.
The agent's gone. Spat his tea out everywhere. Then.
But Brad said, we've got we're all going to wear tuxes, dinner suits. So I haven't had a dinner suit for 30 years.
All right.
So I said, I'd go down and buy one. So I went got to M&S. Am I allowed to say M&S?
Yeah,
I went to M&S.
The shops are available.
Yeah, but it looked like a Volvo. It was like so boxed. I was like, oh, no, I can't do this. Yeah. So I've got Ted Baker, 50% off. It was great.
Very nice.
But they've gone bust now, haven't they, Ted Baker?
Gone, yeah, it's good of you.
I'm not sure they have. 50% off.
Not complete, yeah. They're on the edge, aren't they?
Yeah. Suddenly got lethal, Joe. If Ted's listening, we do apologise.
Oh, sorry, Ted. His new real name's Ray, by the way. He's not Ted. So we did the show, and halfway through it, because I said it was we all did 10 minutes each at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then the second half, all four of us out there all together, and we thought it was going to be a bit of a mess, really, but it really wasn't.
Yeah.
I think because we had a little burp come up then.
That's
sorry
nice.
About that.
Oh, it's all right. Small nice. Pocket of wind.
Yeah. Yeah. Do people normally admit that on the radio? Do they? Do you ever admit that, Charlie? Do you ever go?
I don't burp on the radio. I'm very, not? Very, okay. Very professional.
It was a silent one, though.
Oh, actually, yeah, we didn't hear it.
No, I know you didn't.
I'll listen back and see if it was audible.
I had to mention it.
I'm just
sick
between guests.
Yeah. Imagine that. That happened once on air. One of our presenters, I don't want to spare him his blushes. He felt rough. He's a great trooper and he soldiered on, and he was on with the other presenter. And the other presenter, who was Jason Cundy, had to just keep broadcasting while the other presenter was sick into the bin next to him.
I did the full Monty with Jason.
He carried on and finished the show, though.
I did the full Monty with Jason. When we did the that was a scary thing. That was because you do get your kit off. Obviously, you get off completely. Jason was there, and from Diversity, Ashley Banjo, and it was really weird because at the very end, on telly, no one can see it on telly because you've got. Yeah. But I tried to get fit for it as well. I did a lot more boxing, got beat up a lot more, and then at the end, you get all your kit off, and then they're the big blinders, so the audience at home don't see it. But in the theatre though, everybody once the lights come down, they can all see it all there, and then you have a little cuddle at the end. You go, and then Alexander Armstrong gave you a cuddle like that, and then you realise that you've got nothing on, and you get a bit closer, so you start backing away a little bit like that. Then Ashley Banjo came and had a cuddle. Yeah. There's three of us, and then there's like a dozen of us, and all it was like Caligula. Everybody's willies banging on everybody's knees. You go,
Banjo by name.
Were you impressed with?
Did you look at Ashley's banjo?
Yeah. I knew I shouldn't have invited Joe in. I know you bring out the worst in him. I'll just have to keep him on the straight and narrow. Were you impressed with Jason's dancing?
Oh, no, he was amazing. He was. Yeah. I wasn't even looking at you.
Oh dear. Well, fantastic. Joe, we're out of time.
Not already.
I can't believe it.
We're out of time, Joe.
We're only just talking about willies and everything, and there we go.
I think that's why we're out of time.
Paul, thank you, Charlie.
Joe won't promote it. You can go and check him out. JoePasquale.com.
Yeah.
On Instagram, he's on Facebook as well.
What a night. That would be a brilliant night. He's going everywhere.
An extensive tour all around the country.
I thought you said expensive. It's not expensive. It's expensive.
No, an expensive tour. That's the way to sell it. Includes the Q&A now, as you said.
Includes the Q&A, yeah.
The new normal 40 years of CAC. Go and see Joe in action. He's fantastic live. Good to see you, Joe.
Thanks for having me, Charlie. Lovely to see you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Brilliant. And we'll see you soon.
I'm sorry I talk CAC again, but
that's the way it goes.
Enjoyed it.
It is, isn't it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Anthony, we realised what we're told today, as an official photographer who just takes pictures of him at matches when he's Manchester United, his best bits. We said, that's the spawniest job in the world, isn't it? Sometimes you can forget your camera for most of the games. We were asking, what's your best spawny job? This is from Jack the Wolves fan in Cornwall. My spawny job was working in a well-known wine shop. I was encouraged to taste wine daily, a voucher each week to buy a new bottle to taste. The only problem was I lived 24 miles away and had to drive home, so I couldn't take full advantage and was let go.
Wow.
Should have got the train. Drunk it on the train, straight out of the bottle. That's always a classy look, Jack. Thank you very much.
Don't drink and drive, obviously. Yeah.
Very, no, of course. Well, he didn't. That's why he lost his job.
It was the wrong job.
That's why he lost his job.
It was the wrong job.
Well, we bring up spawny jobs because Rupert Bell...
Spawny jobs? Who's he play for?
He's a
basketball player.
Yeah, spawny jobs, a great player. Because Rupert Bell has been playing Troon today and the guys of work. Work. Good afternoon, Rupert.
Hello, Rupert.
Driving the business forward, I see.
Hello, Rupert.
Can you hear me?
Blimey.
Sounds like
you're phoning us from 1936. He's not going to say Britain is at war with Germany, are you?
I have here in my hand.
Neville Chamberlain on line three. Marvellous.
Hello.
We're going to have to definitely get you back.
Is he there?
We've got Winnie back on his line from 1939. Hello, Rupert.
I am never.
Come in. Roald Troon speaking.
Oh, yes, it does.
Not
it,
bad.
It does sound a bit like that, doesn't he? Like he's flying over. Yeah, he's in a Spitfire.
Are you playing with Hickory Clubs?
He's a lovely bloke, Hickory Clubs.
Great
he's
point like guard.
Spawny Jobs. They're two friends.
Well, I say, I managed to turn this into, instead of a 20-ball lost round, to a 10-ball lost
very
round.
Very good. Thanks, well done, Rupert.
Because it's been blowing a right old hoolie up here, and I managed to, thanks to the good offices of my caddy, Clark Ingham, he managed to produce damage limitations. So I've had a fabulous day. It may have been blowing an absolute hoolie, but I am here for work purposes because, of course, the Open is here later on this year in July, the 152nd Open, which is already, I'm told, a sellout, 250,000 people coming here, stands going up. So I just walked, I played the postage stamp, which I managed to pass.
Yeah, nice. So yeah, I was just looking at your drive. Very nice. Not a tidy shot, not a bad shot, really.
Yeah, but there is a somewhat tax. After one of all that,
shall I tell you what he's saying? He's saying,
he's this isn't getting us anywhere, is it?
Not getting us anywhere.
They're going to have to improve communications to True. I mean, basically, what were we going to get? We were going to get Rupert.
Cups and a bit of
we were going to get Rupert. I mean, is there anything more boring than somebody telling you how good at golf they are?
Oh, yeah.
You would have been saying,
I had a great round. Terrible on the 8. Exactly. Think about these courses, a lot of these open courses, you know, these links courses, they're all short. They're as short until the wind blows. And if the wind blows, then they won't be able to handle it at all. That's when you start to get, it starts to get very serious. I'd love a round at Troon. What's Rupert doing up there?
Well, it's because he's normally our golf correspondent,
exactly.
isn't he?
Is he being paid to be there? Is he putting in an invoice to play at Troon?
Possibly, I don't know. We should point out to accounts just to knock it back. Put a big red cross, post it back to him. Sorry, Rupert, you might be able to hear us. We couldn't hear you. I've got a message that said Rupert on a better line. Wasn't, was it? It clearly wasn't.
No better line.
Clearly wasn't. There's Rupert Bell calling from. He would have done well in. Rupert's. I think was it Rupert's uncle?
Was he quite high
up in the military?
Oh, was he?
He looks
like that. Red trousers, isn't he? Very red trousers, Rupert.
Yeah.
There we are. Yeah. Back in the days when playing on Hackney Marshes, we had to run across
golf?
Well, probably. Yeah. Vic in Bedfordshire, this is about how far you had to travel from...
This is in Norway.
They have to
cross a zebra crossing with all the mascots and all the players in kit to get to the pitch.
Yeah. This is Vic in Bedfordshire. Back in the days when playing on Hackney Marshes, we had to run across the dual carriageway that runs past the Olympic complex, across the big road there. Thank you, Vic. Very nice. And we've got Alex Horn's Taskmaster football game. It's not Taskmaster football. It's a proper football match, but he adds in... simple rules to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
Because obviously they don't want to watch idiots running around. Red cards should have a Roman candle stuck in there and lit by the ref to get them off quicker.
Oh,
that's
okay.
From Beaky. What a nice idea.
Nice. For the match, if you get nutmegged, you should have to eat a spoonful of nutmeg, says Mike, the Chelsea fan. No, if you've watched the Mike Parry video, you don't want to be doing that. Really.
Is it cinnamon? The cinnamon challenge.
Oh, that was the cinnamon challenge, wasn't it? Yeah. Nice. Roy in Colchester. Each manager passes details of his full match day squad to the opposing manager, who then considers the various players and then selects the starting 11.
Come on, Ipswich.
When I lived in Warrington, excuse me, we played in Moss Side. We had to climb an 18-foot fence as there wasn't a key to get in. Also had trials at Bolton Wanderers and had to run across the motorway to where the pitches were. Roy from Cornwall's back. I remember playing in the Northants Sunday League, says Mark. We had to get changed in the back of a local spa convenience store, then walk along the main road for 100 yards and then cross a field full of cows to get to the pitch. Always bizarre.
Must have been an easier way to get changed there.
I suppose it probably would have been, yeah.
Someone's saying, I bet Simon Jordan has a personal photographer. You can probably split people into whether they have a personal photographer or not. Definitely fit players into it.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So, yes, the word is that everything must go at Old Trafford.
Pile 'em high.
That's right. Marcus Rashford was 65 million now, 45 million.
Down the market. Yeah. All your jeans, all your jackets.
Pay nothing
all your
now.
Rashfords.
It does, yeah. I mean, it's a kind of weird
Scott
story.
McTominay.
It's a weird story, isn't it, that suddenly everybody's up for sale. Mm. I mean, well, not everybody, because there are players there you clearly want to sort of build the future around. So let's talk now to a Manchester United fan and see what he makes of all this stuff. Yeah. It is comedian Justin Morehouse. Hi, Justin.
Hello, Justin.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Well, how are you?
Very good.
Thank
nice
you.
To so, speak to you.
What do you make of this this news today that apparently under the new ownership, that, you know, no one is safe. Everybody is potentially for sale.
Let me preempt my remarks with this startling admission.
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I've avoided you two lads for a little while.
Oh no! Didn't want to come on.
Charlie's occasionally texts me from a train. Hey, mate, are you going to come on talk about United? And I've made up things. Cash and carry visits, bar mitzvahs, visit the zoo. You know, because I've not wanted to discuss it, but yeah. I've now reached to the point where it has become farcical. It has become a circus. Mm. Never mind a zoo. You know, we are in strange times where clearly, somebody within the club is briefing, because you just all the papers don't make this story up, do they?
No.
Hey, what? You know, one day, suddenly everyone's splashing it. I mean, I think the general idea is every player's up for sale anyway, at all times, yeah, at any club, whatever you say. If somebody offered 250 million for Mo Salah tomorrow, Liverpool would take it, you know, despite any protestations they'd say. I think there needs to be, a bit of a root and branch. There does definitely... I don't want to say he's lost the dressing room, because, you know, I don't think that is ever the case, because I think there's always a detachment these days between the, you know, the manager and the players, that the wage gap is so huge that I don't think there's any kind of fear in any dressing room with any manager. I don't think that exists anymore. But clearly the communications broke down and there's something weird. And there's certain players that seem to be his favourites, and there's certain players that he picks every week, but out of necessity as well. Mm. I mean, have you seen it? It's we're not on match of the day anymore. We're on casualty. You know, we've got that many injured. It's honestly the Carrington's like the Somme. It's just every player's out. We've got so many players out. It's unbelievable. Yeah. You know, and the ones that the irony is, the ones that are fit are like it's like Dad's army. You know, we got don't tell him your name, Casemiro. Yeah. Plays centre half next to the nimble Harry Maguire for the last couple of games.
With Johnny Evans to come in to give you some legs.
Johnny Evans give us some legs. Yeah. I mean, we're not far off the days when they're going to shout to the ambassadors, you know.
Yeah.
Robbo, come out of the Europa Grill.
Yeah.
You know, put the volivant down. We need you to do a job.
Yeah. It's like the Wild Geese, isn't it? The old Richard Burton film.
Yeah, they're all coming
back. That one. Roger Moore. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. But on a serious note, I think there does definitely needs to be a little bit of a clear out. I mean, there's so much uncertainty with the manager. You know, is he going? Is he staying? You know, is Dave Brailsford working his magic as we speak? Yeah. You know, the man is the king of the marginal gain. Is he saying to Ten Hag, listen, let's not even qualify for Europa League this season. Then we can have a nice, easy season next season. Maybe this is a genius move on the Ineos, robotic management structure we've seen. So, I don't know, mate. I'm beyond worried.
You sound jaded, Justin. Yeah.
You say someone's being briefed. Do you think since the Ineos deal has come in, so Jim Ratcliffe has come in, that communication has improved? So because of that, you do get more stories like this.
Well, it's not improved between the back four and the keeper, has it? That's that communication. But I think so. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, actually, somebody on the ground talking to the, you know. Because our owners, and I've said this before, I've been on your programme, and I will reiterate this, if what the Glazers have done to Manchester United had happened to any other football club, and certainly it happened in the last 5 years, there would be a national uproar. They'd be chatting in the parliament about this. They've come in and not invested a single penny into the club, and they've taken millions, billions out of the club. And it's a scandal, you know? And now we're talking about financial fair play. You know, Manchester United are stuck, they're hamstrung. They create more revenue than anybody else. They're, you know, one of the major, you know, if not the biggest club in Europe. You know, they're in the top three, top whatever. But I mean, it's staggering
yeah.
that We talk about the performance on the pitch, yet we don't talk about the absolute lack of direction and management we've got. And now we've got, you know, several directors of football, head of technical, boss of Sabutio, all these different positions, something you've never heard of before, you know, and they're coming out and we're being brought up to speed. I mean, that's fair. But, you know, the main man we've got can't start, and his big remit is pick the manager. So, you know, we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. I genuinely think it's a... I feel like, you know, Sir Jim walks in a little bit like Dion Dublin when he walks into one of them houses that have been bought at auction. You know, and he goes, we weren't expecting a floor in the kitchen. You know, we were expecting a bathroom and here's a laundry room or something like that. I think, you know, he's taking the lid off it. I think there's a lot to be done.
Yeah. The thing is, selling players is so hard, especially if you want top dollar. You end up, you know, no one can afford... Premier League players generally around you.
Also, they're on great wages at Man United.
Yeah, you
as
take
well.
A big hit on them.
Don't sugarcoat it. Yeah. Don't sugarcoat it, Mr. Hawksby. It's hard to sell it when they're crap.
Yeah, well, you know? there is a side of that. Yeah, I mean, so we've discovered today that Anthony has his own personal photographer at every game, nice. Just taking pictures of him of his best bits. Can you believe that?
Who's he got?
He employs this guy to take pictures of him
ranking.
At all the games. Yeah. He hasn't used a roll of film yet. Still got. Well, I could have done that joke 20 years ago. It's a bit pointless now, isn't it?
Still got 8 left.
Yeah, he's still got 8 left. Yeah. That's right, yeah.
He's not even used the full cube off the top of the internet.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. There, that's lovely. How it all unfolded today.
Very nice.
I'll be back on Thursday. I'll be back tomorrow with Andy. You're back on Thursday.
I'm back Thursday. I am indeed.
I sent the producer. Thought I'd have the day off. Forgot to tell you. I'll be back tomorrow, don't worry.
He comes in when he wants.
If selected. So you'll be back Thursday for
see
the birthday.
You Thursday. Looking forward to it, Paul.
Nice one.
As
excellent.
Ever.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you can join us on 1 tomorrow for the show. If not, podcast is always available at 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Flimsy stands slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo. Built to last. Designed to impress.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.